Hey y'all, this is Catherine with Liberation Consciousness. Happy solstice! I am making this little audio recording today to share with you some ideas about the next couple of weeks and how you can think about your health and choices around healing. So thank you so much for listening. This is an experiment. Please let me know if you have follow-up questions or if these little short answers to some other people's questions spark new questions. I would love to keep talking to you. So as you know, the next couple of weeks are usually filled with even more sugar. Even more foods that are made and offered to you by other people, if you're lucky, celebrating or drinking, maybe because you're having a hard time. I don't know. That's definitely something that I might be doing. And with all of these things alongside, any kind of triggers that might be coming up around family or travel or politics or it being cold. I know that this time can be challenging. So let me tell you what some folks have been asking and see what I have to say about it. So somebody asked, what are some rituals for going to sleep? And I guess I would say that really depends a little bit on how your sleep might be disrupted. Do you have a difficult time falling asleep? Do you wake up in the middle of the night? Is your sleep light? So, as is true with most Ayurvedic answers, it really depends on who you are and what your situation is. That said, one of my favorite things for going to sleep and rituals for going to sleep is thinking about the evening as the beginning of the day. I like to think of my days as being evening to evening. So, anything that you might normally want to do to think about your upcoming day, you may want to do that early in the evening, not right before bed, but see if that sounds like a good idea. I really like warm drinks before bed, for sure. You can do an herbal chai or a heated milk. If you do dairy, then cow milk, and if you don't do dairy, then sort of the most fat-full milk alternative that works for your body. Plus any of the herbs that you might know you need right now. Kind of like with pot brownies or any other kind of edibles, it really works well to have fat, to help your body absorb and interact with the herbs. So a milk drink of sorts would be a nice way to wind down. Let's see, what else? I also think that going to bed, you can have a breathing exercise and you can pick one, an intentional breath work. If you want some ideas, email me and I'd be happy to give you some. But I would really suggest doing the same one all the time, creating some consistency for yourself. And I'd say that generally too about rituals for going to sleep. Sort of pick a draft of your first draft idea of what you think you want to do, or your next draft idea, and then plan on sticking to it for 3 weeks. A lot of changes are really accumulative. So, that is what I am saying today about rituals for going to sleep. Someone else asked, What kinds of foods should I load up on during the yummy but rich laden, rich and sweet laden holiday season? So, different people need different foods. And I guess what I would say is maybe ask yourself what ends up happening to you during this season. What kinds of richer, sweet foods are you drawn to? Or are there other foods or other ways that you're drawn into excess around food? And depending on what you gravitate towards as your, pleasure food, that can often be an interesting indicator for what your balancing foods will be. So an example of a rich food could be cheese. And I'm thinking of myself, I'm definitely drawn to cheese as my favorite thing. Favorite pleasure food. So if that's true for you, that cheese is something that you're really drawn to, or if you're experiencing grief or depression, or generally having an experience of low energy, I would suggest thinking about pulling in some vinegary food, some pickled foods, sauerkraut, pickles, radishes, raw wet white vegetables can be really good counteraction foods for those things that I just listed. If you are more inclined to have a lot of sweet things, that are, and also alcohol, that might mean that we should work on getting you some cooling foods. So I'd say also like alkaline foods, so things that are green, and that may seem obvious, but specifically if you're drawn towards drinking, bitter greens will be really good, dark leafy greens. And because there's going to be so many opportunities for sugar, you may want to pick your battles, or consider bringing something that you think is more aligned for you and what you're currently working with as an alternative. Just so you feel like you have a pleasure food, but maybe one that's not either the sweets or, wheat or fat or something. I guess cookies are dry. I was trying to think of a seasonal food that's dry. So I don't actually know if that's that helpful. I mean, the real answer is, who are you? What else is going on in your life? And how does the holiday season amplify things that are hard for you, and how does that affect how you eat? Some people might actually be more inclined to not eat or eat less when they're stressed. So I can answer specific questions. If you have any questions about what's going on with you personally right now and how you think your specific next couple of weeks around the holidays, or even if they're not the holidays for you, just your next couple of weeks, if you want some advice about next steps, reach out and we can talk. I would say hydrate, drink water. If you haven't been drinking 2 or 3 liters of water a day, it now can be a really nice time to do that. And depending on where you live, I definitely find in the winter I stop being that thirsty, so I start to drink a lot of my water through herbal tea because it just feels a lot nicer. Or I'll actually just run my faucet to a hotter temperature when I fill up my water bottle so that when I'm drinking it, it doesn't feel cold. And now is also a really nice time to make sure that you're getting electrolytes, however you may choose to. in order for you to absorb the water that you choose to drink and not pee it out. And what else? Yeah, I mean, I think it could be an interesting time to just ask yourself, what do you currently consider to be good for you in terms of food? Interesting moment to check in. And what are the reasons why it ends up feeling difficult in the next couple of weeks? And what are the choices that you've been making that enable you to have an easier time eating than last year you were with family or on a vacation or traveling or being independent when a lot of other people are busy? And see, maybe ask yourself how you feel like you've grown. I know that I've gotten better, although still continuing to improve always, about self-advocating and announcing to people what my food needs are. It can be a challenging thing, especially if I'm being hosted or if somebody's making me something. You know, it feels like such a special treat to just receive food that somebody else has made. So I don't, those are the situations that are hardest for me, and I will often just have whatever is being given to me. So you can check in about that too. Somebody asked about, you know, tea, soup, snacks for pressing reset. And I really like that idea of pressing reset. I guess, you know, again, it really depends on who you are, what's going on in your life, physically, emotionally, psychologically, schedule-wise. And still, a really nice thing you can do for yourself is to decide that you're going to eat a mono diet, even for just one meal. Yeah, pick a meal and just decide. So for example, I like to sometimes when I travel decide that my breakfast and lunch will be a green smoothie with chia seeds in the morning for breakfast, with greens, half an avocado, pear or a banana, and water and spices. And then I just know that that's what I'm going to be having for breakfast. And most of the time that I'm traveling, I'm not having like breakfast dates. So that's not hard. And then also for lunch, I like to do a khichdi, which is like dal with rice that's all in one pot with spices that are medicinal for me. And I'll maybe put a recipe for that in this newsletter. But just, you know, so much of what happens, I think, during travel or being hosted or celebrating or grieving or all of the big eating experiences of the season, it just can be like a lot of different kinds of food and a lot of food that you don't make yourself, or at least that's true for me. So having some consistency that I can create for my digestive system, I've found can make a really big difference. And, you know, it's not only is it counteractive, I think, for overindulgent foods or pleasure foods on a more frequent basis. But yeah, I do think that it can kind of count as a reset. You know, a lot of the food cleanses that I've been part of and that I've facilitated really lean into having a mono diet or at least a super consistent set of foods, both for your digestive system, but also so you don't have to think about it. So I am plugging that, I guess, mono diet, or maybe we should name it something else that sounds better, like unicorn foods. And let's see, I had someone who asked about winter, pushing back at winter, embracing winter. What does winter do to you? How do you experience winter? How is winter different than fall or spring? Sometimes people are cold. Sometimes people are dry. Sometimes people are stressed. So let's talk about those things. If you find that you are cold, you can use sesame oil, which is a heating oil, and put it all over your body. Ideally, you do it every day, and you can either do it just directly on your skin. I have mine in a little bottle with like a dropper thing in it with essential oils in it that help my psychological balance. But you can also just do it straight up in a bottle. And then I just put it on like all the time whenever I'm feeling like it. You also can have a bottle of it near your shower. And at the end of the shower, put it all over your skin while the water is still hot. And then, your pores are open and it mostly just goes directly into your skin. So that's a really lovely thing to do if you're cold. Dry. That also helps actually if you're feeling dry. The hydration really helps. I guess I can say here that having a Solae salt, hot salt water, for as the first thing you drink in the morning, at least 10 or 15 minutes before coffee or other, anything else that you might have, perhaps breakfast. That because the so what you want to do basically is like a quarter teaspoon of salt, or I don't measure it anymore. I do sort of a two-finger pinch with my middle pointer and thumb of salt into a mug of warm water, hot water. And you want the salt to have color to it, like pink or gray, or there's a bazillion different options these days. Because that color stuff is what do we call it? Minerals, is that what it is? And trace minerals, and they help as sort of electrolyte. I guess they are electrolytes. So, that is an additional way to help out if you are dry. And stressed. Well, I guess looping back to the going to bed routine options with the milk suggestion, I suggest if you tend to be stressed that you can get yourself some ashwagandha, which is a super popular ancient adaptogenic herb in Ayurveda. Adaptogenic means that it helps your stress hormones, your cortisol levels, balance out. And it's so common in India, and probably other places around there too, that, I kind of consider it to be like the anti-stress Advil in a way. And it's gentle enough that they'll give it to children. So it's not like a super intense herb. That said, it really does stuff. So what I like to do is my ideal ashwagandha situation is to find some that is dried root, like actual dried root, not powdered. So if you happen to be excited about questing for the ashwagandha root, one, tell me if you find the full root because it's very rare to find, and I'll be super excited to hear additional places to find it. If you live in the Bay Area, the Berkeley Bowls health food aisle, not the bulk section, but like the health aisle where you can also buy toothpaste, they have some bulk dried root in little chunks for ashwagandha that you can just buy. And it'll be like, for like a full handful, it'll be $2 or something. So it's pretty reasonable. And what you want to do is put it in the milk, and I'd say maybe like a tablespoon. It basically tastes like bitter marshmallow. So I also like to put cinnamon and fresh turmeric if you have it. It's not non-essential, but if you have it, you might as well throw it in. And black pepper if you have it too. That's my preferred way. So then it is a golden milk. And then I will simmer it for 10 minutes on low. If you have other things you want to be doing and you want to simmer it on low for like 20 or 30 minutes, go for it. It'll just be stronger. And then I'll mix in honey to the mug And that really, really can help with stress. If you're feeling anxious or triggered or that you really expect that you're going to have a rough couple of days, or you just feel yourself being in the middle of a rough couple of days, you can even choose to have it 2 or 3 times a day. And it will, the effect of it will build. So day two will be stronger than day one. So that's my suggestion for 3 ways that winter can manifest that you may want to push back at it. And we're at 20 minutes, so I'm going to stop. But thank you so much for listening to part of this, or if you made it all the way to the end, double high five, and thanks for hanging out with me. And I would love to answer any questions that you have or think more with you about how these suggestions and related issues might be customizable to your current moment. All right, big hugs, lots of love, and happy solstice.